Hey!
Hey!
Yes! We're actually here. Welcome to Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. Welcome to the second week of our Not on the Air in the Seattle Market interregnum. We're still popular, and we're still on in Olympia and in Michigan, so, you know, we're still on the air.
We
so
love
be
you guys.
Careful, guys.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, while we're changing our home station around. And it's the second week, but this might actually be the first full episode that airs, thanks to what happened last week.
Oh, that was a fun one. That was just...
So essentially, your entire house exploded.
Well,
I'm understanding that right.
Basically,
picture Michael Bay. This is
what you're looking at. What happened was our internet went out while we were on the air, and so we lost the whole first segment of the show went off the air, and it was like, okay, this is not good.
Down for 20 minutes.
Yeah, we were down for about 20 minutes. You can't tell in the podcast because I cut about 10 minutes of commercials out. We did a whole segment, and then I got an email, and then I noticed that there was no bits coming out of the workstation, and I'm like, wait. And then I started getting emails, you're not on the air. I'm like, crap, okay. And it just so happens that I've been working on a redundant internet connection anyway, so that this doesn't happen. So I grabbed the new modem, plugged it directly into this computer, and we were back on for about half an hour. But now it's all fixed, and any internet outages should be fine.
But most importantly, the postscript to the story is when you found the problem.
Yeah, I don't. So what happened was things were getting misconfigured, and I couldn't figure out why things were getting misconfigured. It's like, why am I getting these strange addresses? I can't get them to stop, and I got everything configured to get automatically configured for the DHCP. And then I found an old Wi-Fi modem that had been surreptitiously plugged into my network and was handing out IP addresses from like 3 years ago.
IPs of the past.
Yeah. And so what I ended up doing was
we now have a new sort of decoration here in the studio. This router is nailed to the wall with a sign that says, I took Ask an Atheist off the air.
Yes, it did. Yeah.
When you get a bigger budget, you can turn it into like a water feature.
I could turn it into a water feature. I will consider that, I think. How do you make a... Does it just sort of spit water at us?
It spits IP addresses in a fountain-like shape.
Okay. So, among other things, there's something you wanted to talk about today, Dave. About furniture.
Furniture.
Which utterly baffles me. So why don't you explain it?
Okay. So my wife and I recently moved into a new house, and part of this process was we bought a whole bunch of new furniture. And so...
Well, we bought this furniture.
Get closer to the microphone.
We went to this local company, kind of a small mom-and-pop type business. Not even a small. It's actually a pretty good-sized mom-and-pop business. But, you know, the type of place where you can meet the owners and stuff. And, you know, everything kind of goes smoothly. And we buy furniture and we pay to have it delivered to our house because we got, you know, couches and love seats and stuff like that. Stuff we can't fit in our car. And when they deliver this, they have a little gift. And there's a little coffee cup with the name of the company and a bag of M&Ms, which I'm still stoked about, and a card. And on this card, it's got the name of the company. It's got a picture of a guy climbing a cliff for some reason, and it's got a quote from Philippians on it. And
okay.
I was like, huh. They never really struck me as a Christian business. In fact, I actually make it a point of avoiding Christian businesses. Businesses that are sort of very out and loud about their Christianity tend to be not great businesses.
This is something we've heard. I actually figured this out, not on my own. I kind of do that too, but from other religious people, because they go, yeah, they put Christian stuff all over their business, and that way they feel like they can cut, you know, they'll get some slack from religious people when they don't do a good job.
Yeah, because they assume that, and I think with justification, that a lot of especially fundamentalist Christians are going to go to somebody that has Jesus in their title before anyone else, regardless of what quality of service they're going
to
get.
Oddly enough, I have a counter argument to that, which is we called it, I don't know what it was actually called, but it was in downtown Phoenix near the hospital, and it was called, we don't know what it was called, but we called it Christian Hot Dog. Because you go in there and they were playing the Cubs game and they had Chicago style hot dogs, you know, Vienna beef hot dogs with a really crappy relish and all that. And
be hard to find in Phoenix.
yeah. And you'd be surprised. There's a Portillo's and a Luke's out there now.
Huh.
It's really, I mean, Phoenix is like Phoenix to Chicago is like Miami to New York.
Or California to Washington.
Washington. So, but at the time there wasn't much out there, and you know, there were Bible quotes all over the place, and we were like, they should have a crucidog. I would totally buy, because, you know, more hot dog, you know? I mean,
would that, like, save the weird thing where you never have enough hot dog buns for the hot dog? And you could, like, do a cross-shaped hot dog?
Or? Well, yeah, I guess it's a Latter-day Loaves and Fishes kind of story. All right, so let's bring it back to furniture.
Well, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, another business I mentioned when we were talking about this earlier, I see a van driving around town called Christ-Based Cleaning. And it's like, every time I see this van, I kind of chuckle inside. It's like, I would never give this company my business. But when they do it more subtly, more covertly, when, you know, I went through the entire process of talking to a salesman and finding the right furniture and going away and coming back and deciding on something else and having conversations with the wife about it and then buying and making payments and, you know, getting it delivered before suddenly this thing shows up with the quote from Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Oh, you've got it here. Oh, yes. Hand it over. Oh, yes. Wow.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So this is not...
No, it's not Philippians. It's just Phil.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, this is the cut rate dollar store Bible.
There was a book of Phil?
Phil Donahue.
Yeah, the book of Phil Donahue. Oh, yeah. This looks like one of those posters that you'd find in a high school guidance counselor's office. It's
Oh, you're right. It's a motivational poster. Yeah. Just a Bible quote over the top.
Which, on a quick aside, motivational posters have ruined me to the point when I see a motivational poster with an actual motivational quote, I'm always disappointed now. I want something funny. Like, but now I'm wondering, what do you do about this? Like, what's your reaction when you come to, like, when you find out In-N-Out Burger, like, covertly hides Bible quotes on the bottom rim inside of their cups? Like,
I find that a little creepy. I mean, it you know, like, you're trying to infest me with your weird religion contagion. I don't really get what you're doing here.
Yeah.
But I don't, as long as they're not, like, you know, giving money to the American Family Association or Prop 8 support, I don't really care. How about you?
I have a threshold where if I notice that it's extremely in my face and, like, right away someone is going to try and proselytize toward me for buying or attempting to buy their product or service, I'm probably going to turn around and walk out.
Buy my product as God told you to.
Yeah, Jeebus told me. So, yeah. The catch there is, if it's done, you said that this was given to you in a cup with some M&Ms after you bought the furniture kind of a thing.
With the delivery.
I honestly wouldn't be all that bothered by it.
That's below your threshold?
Yeah, it's below the threshold. The litmus test is if I did something equally sort of, I don't want to say underhanded, but sort of covert to, like, tell them I was an atheist.
Right.
Would they turn around and smack me in the face and run out the door screaming? Like,
yeah.
And they probably wouldn't have done that.
Well, I guess that is a turn, because once upon a time here in Tacoma, people were trying to come up with a list of secular-friendly and atheist-run businesses, you know, because I thought that would be a good thing to have, and it would help build an atheist community. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel like when it comes back to what we were talking about earlier, where, you know, when this furniture business gives me this card after we've already gone through every step of the transaction, this is the last bit, and they just kind of give me this little quote, and they are not trying to use their Christianity to cover business practices. They are not trying to use Christianity to sell me. They just kind of threw it in at the end. And maybe that's the difference.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe they could belong on a secular-friendly list of businesses because they're not trying to...
Can I propose the idea that maybe because it was done as an afterthought, that felt more like a little bit of an affront to you? Like, had you known earlier, you wouldn't have...
Well, yeah, and absolutely. And I want to say there was...
Oh, sort of a, you bought furniture from a Christian.
Kind of a thing.
And there was a moment where I thought, okay, do I really need to go through the internet now and find out where my money's going now that I've already spent it? Do I need to find out if they're supporting causes that I don't like?
Right.
Which eventually I just decided, you know, I don't even want to know. The money's already spent.
Once the furniture's already in your house, I think that particular horse is already out of the barn.
Yeah, and if I decide to go back, I may then take the steps before going back to see what will happen there.
Right.
But...
Well, do you like the furniture?
I love the furniture.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
It is great furniture. And no, like, the actual shopping experience was great. I really liked the salesman I talked to. He was really helpful, really, you know, kind of low-key. Like, he wasn't high pressure. He's the type of guy that, like... when he was not trying to move me into something more expensive. He's just telling me, it's like, no, I don't think this couch is what you need. Here's a cheaper one that I think will work better for you over here. Like, he's a salesman that I actually ended up trusting. And I thought,
okay,
so
yeah.
That's the type of business. They were a good business. It's just this weird little thing at the end that I didn't know what to do with.
Yeah.
I was curious about the list of secular and atheist-friendly businesses, because those aren't necessarily the same thing.
No, and that was the idea. Like, religious people who are just, you know, friends to the atheism movement here. And Doyle's, you know, the place where we usually have the post shows. Mm-hmm. They're not atheists there, but they strongly believe in our ability to be a community and be in Tacoma,
uh-huh.
and they've been very supportive, so they would have been on the list.
And I think it'd be worth mentioning Northwest Coffee Company.
Yeah, Northwest Pacific Coffee Company is another one of them.
And they are blatantly Christian. Like,
oh, yeah.
They have Bible quotes on the walls, and they reached out to us to say, we don't like that somebody turned you down.
That's a strong counterpoint, because you walk in the door, and there are Bible quotes, and it's near Pacific Lutheran University, and Christianity is kind of a part of what their product and their vision is, because they have, you know, Bible studies and stuff there. But when they heard that Shelley Siegel got kicked out of Anthem down the street, mm-hmm. because atheism, they contacted us and said, you know, by that point we'd already booked Doyle's, but they said, please have events here, and we did.
Yeah.
And so that's, I mean, maybe you need to look a little bit deeper than just a card or what it says on the wall, because sure. as it turns out, Northern Pacific Coffee Company was really, really cool to us.
Yeah, they were really great to us. So, yeah. It's an interesting one. It is just kind of like, when I got this, I'm like, this is something that we should talk about, because it's like, I didn't quite know how to feel when I saw this. It did feel like a little bit at the end. It's like, nah, you didn't.
Okay, while we're really flogging local businesses,
hey!
Do you like the new carpet? Did you even notice the new carpet?
The new carpet in here?
Look down.
Oh, yes. I did notice the new carpet.
It's all that from Tinkertopia.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
Well, and I used to have two of these swatches on my old couch, because the cast destroyed it so much that we nailed these little tiny swatches of carpet to the corner of the couch so the cast could scratch that instead.
Yeah. So come to Tacoma. We have a bunch of weird businesses.
Yeah.
And new carpeting.
And new carpeting. Oh, man. I guess you kind of have to be careful, because, like, before Northern Pacific Coffee Company, thank you for bringing that up, because I probably would have approached it, but like the way I approach voting for somebody. Like, if I go through a voter pamphlet and in their description, if it says in their affiliations that they're involved with the church, that doesn't bother
me. Fine.
We're in America. That's going to happen. But if they make a big deal about their religious affiliations in their description of their policies and their stances, then I'm going to go, okay, maybe you're not the guy I want on my side.
Yeah, if the bio mentions the words Jesus Christ, that's a big red flag.
And so I probably would have approached it very similarly, I think. But Northern Pacific Coffee Company, really, I guess that's the counterpoint. I need we can't just blindly say, oh, look, a Jesus fish, stay away. Sometimes it's necessary to look closer.
And another thing to keep in mind is that context and ultimately cooperation, if you can do it, is key.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Knowing
absolutely.
That, yeah, you see someone with a Jesus fish on the back of their car and you shake your fist and you growl. Well, does that really ultimately help anything?
Yeah. Fair point.
I shake my fist and I growl at pretty much everybody.
Well, that is sort of, that's what we
schtick.
Do. Yeah, that's our schtick.
Standard operating procedure.
We do have some interesting things happening, which we should probably talk about right away. Like I said, this is our break between stations. We just ended our weekly run at KLAY. Not necessarily done with them yet, but we're starting at KKNW 1150 AM up in Seattle on October 5th. That'll
Very
be our first episode.
This.
Yeah. And,
exciting.
I have so much. You should see my task list. You should see my desk. It looks like horrible things happen to it. And also, in order to help pay for the move, because this has some costs associated with it, we're having another Streamathon. I thought people would get sick of them.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah.
But as it turns out, every time we'll get like every 3 or 4 months, are you doing another Streamathon? Are you doing another Streamathon? Wait, so you want me to create this 24-hour thing where you give us a ton of money? Okay.
It was great, because just now it looked like you were about to say something other than announcing the Streamathon, and you just looked like you were about to scream at the top of your lungs.
Well, you know how that's how I communicate. So next, I believe this is next Saturday and Sunday.
Next weekend, this is
Saturday, September 20th to Sunday, September 21st. It's usually Friday to Saturday. This time it's Saturday to Sunday so that we can have more participation.
None of us could make it Friday.
Yeah, not even I.
It would have been, you know, Becky here alone, sad.
Yeah. You guys with your lives.
6 hours.
But it's noon to noon, 24 hours. If you're listening on YouTube right now, that's why you're listening on YouTube, is I'm making sure we can do this on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's basically like a telethon, except we swear more, and we talk about Doctor Who and whatever people want to talk about. Last time I got paid lots of money to sing.
Some very good renditions of Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
So if you want to hear Sam Mulvey's version,
you will have to give me a lot of money. To that end, I did the math, and it's going to cost us about, this move is costing us about $2,600.
Okay.
So that's our goal for the Streamathon, which I have to admit is more than we have raised before.
That's an ambitious goal.
But it's close to what we raised last time. Mm. And that gets us everything we need to comfortably get into KKNW and to give us enough space to sort of move on to the next phase of Ask an Atheist, which is not only new stations in Washington State, but also to start syndicating more. I mean, somebody actually pointed it out to me. Do you realize you're a syndicated radio show now? I'm like, no, I'm not. That's three stations. No, syndicated means more than one. I'm like, oh, I suppose so.
The stage of denial is over.
Yes. Okay. So, yes, please help us out. And speaking of such things, we are going to be going to a break. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. There we go. Touchscreen mixers. Anyway, 206-420-0997. We're going to a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some really, really strange news.
Billy, I am a Nigerian prince, and I want to hide a bajillion dollars in your locker.
Wow, a bajillion dollars?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
A Path Less Taken, From Ministry to Nonbelief and Beyond, is a provocative new documentary produced by Axis Mundi Media. It features in-depth interviews with Calvin King, Annalise Fonza, Teresa McBain, and Rich Lyons, all former Christian ministers who are now avowed atheists. A Path Less Taken is available now on DVD or digital download from Amazon.com.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to Ask an Atheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist 206-420-0997. And I believe it might be a nice day for a gay wedding.
It's a nice day for a gay wedding.
I cannot believe I just did that. Anyway.
Start again.
What have you done?
I'm sorry. Egyptian authorities arrested 7 men for inciting debauchery and undermining public morals due to their involvement in a gay wedding video. Police identified 9 of the 16 men in the video, which claims to be Egypt's first gay wedding, and arrested 7 of them. It is not reported whether the couple getting married were among those detained. Homosexuality isn't explicitly forbidden by Egyptian law, but is often punished under other morality statutes. Since I didn't introduce you, I'm going to call you by your full names. Dave Brulette, why don't you go first?
Well, my first thought here is, like, I get my hackles up at the words morality statutes.
Right.
Like, that just, it's partially my culture. I understand this, but the very idea of making laws based on morality just, I find so abhorrent. And, yeah, the fact that they arrest people for having a wedding, 2 people loving each other and other people celebrating them, committing themselves to each other, and that's worthy of sending them to jail? Like, we should be used to this at the same by now, but at the same time, I don't ever want to be used to this because this is horrible.
No, right? It's definitely not something you should become complacent of.
Yeah.
And I understand that there's cultural context in here that I don't necessarily have 100% clarity on, but I know that whether it's advocating for any civil rights issue, people are going to try and make demonstrations and there will always be backlash, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's going to take steps. And I mean, on the one hand, the fact that little old Ask an Atheist in Tacoma, Washington is able to read about this and know that there's things happening in other parts of the world to make those steps, I think is a good thing. The fact that we can hear about it.
I hope so. That's always been my hope. You know, because we're a radio show and we try to be funny and do talk radio stuff. But, I mean, we are also a part of a movement, and that can be important at some times.
Yeah.
And, God, Egypt is such a weird place because they got, you know, the whole Arab Spring thing happened, and then they got this government in, but this government was kind of, oh, look, it's kind of Iran light. So they kicked them out and brought in a slightly more, slightly less horrible one, but then this is still happening.
More militaristic one.
Well, yeah, and so it's like, I don't even know what to think about Egypt anymore. Yeah. This is just confusing, because we're, you know, in the former government, that was when the whole Alber Saber thing had happened, you know, where he was arrested and beaten for posting on Facebook, and it's like, okay, new government, maybe this isn't going to happen anymore. Wait a second, what the heck, guys?
Yeah, and also, who's the sort of Egyptian version of Jon Stewart that was arrested for making silly jokes on TV? And, you know, it's one of those things. This is why freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and freedom of religion is so important, because once someone can be arrested for having an opinion different than what the government wants, then nobody's free.
And to be fair, ever since colonialization, if you've been undergoing different coups or the same guy in power for 40 some odd years, you're going to be trying to find your feet and know where freedom of speech lies and where you want to balance that with stability.
Yeah.
Right. And I think, unfortunately, that's painful.
Yeah.
And that's going to lead to issues.
And the more you get these overturning governments in countries like Egypt, the more it becomes a situation where the only person who's going to be in power is the person who can hold that power. And the person who's going to hold that power and the person who actually is looking out for the rights of the populace are rarely going to be the same person.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So...
So, again, I didn't introduce you guys. You're Dave Brulette.
Hey.
You're Rosalind Townsend.
Hello.
Yeah, you know, we're making some changes, and I just got to roll with them and get to the new ones. And but a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, that's Egypt, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't happen anywhere else. Well, I beg to differ. Paul Blake, a teacher at an Ontario Catholic school, has been formally reprimanded for informing his students that they are not required by law to take religion classes. According to a recent ruling by the Ontario Superior Court, Catholic schools who receive public funds cannot force their students to take part of religious classes or services. When Blake asked his administration what to do about the ruling, he was told not to discuss it with his students. Blake was later informed that he was being laid off, after which he told his students about the ruling. Okay, is this the same as being arrested? No. But this is still an enforcement of morality.
It is. It's a different sort of story because this is the schools doing something against the... Not necessarily... Well, yeah. They're doing something against the law, and then they're putting a sort of... what do you want? How do you want? Job punishment. Sort of a reprimand for his employment. It's not... He's not going to jail for doing this because the school can't put him in jail.
Right.
But they can make it harder for him to get another job, which is exactly
and that's exactly what they did, right?
Yeah. I mean... Yeah, the story... It's a weird situation because you have... The Supreme Court passed a law that says that if you're getting public funds, you can't force students to take religious classes. Well, the Catholic schools just didn't tell their students that. They just let them think that they had to, that it was required. And so this teacher is like sending out emails saying, well, you know, maybe we should tell our students about this. And the administration says, no, don't tell the students. Just keep this under your hat.
The scariest thing about this is that the school, regardless as to whether or not it's religious or secular or public or private, is reinforcing a culture of ignorance.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's really, really saddening and disheartening.
Exact opposite of what a school should do.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
I mean, that's the purpose of them getting public funds is to train children.
I wonder how much of the Office of Religious Affairs or whatever it was in the Harper government has to do with stuff like this. I mean, I do have to wonder at that because we talked about this years ago, that when Harper came in, they wanted to work closely with government and, you know, with religion and government, and they were basically wanting to do the same thing as we've got with faith-based charities, and they did that, and now schools are getting public money, but they're enforcing, you know, religion on people where you're not supposed to enforce religion. It's just politically strange.
It's you know, Canada's a different situation. They have no explicit separation of church and state in their constitution like we have written in, despite what David Barton might tell you. It is actually in there, but in Canada it isn't. And, you know, for a long time, the Catholic schools were the only schools that anyone could go to. And basically the government just said, yeah, you guys are good at teaching. You take care of it. And so, you know... Correct me if I'm wrong on this. I could be really... My Canadian history is not exactly top-notch, but...
Oh, Americans.
Yeah, Americans.
Yeah. I can't say I'm any better.
I do know that there were issues in Canadian history regarding Catholic schooling versus Protestant schooling, and that was a big issue. But beyond that, I have to plead ignorance on that one.
But the point is that I do know that the Supreme Court of Canada, or I think it was a Superior Court of Ontario, specifically said that you cannot force your students to take religious classes if you're getting public funds. And this teacher basically was just, you know, he was not allowed the chance to get a different job. He was not only laid off, but then when he found out he was laid off, he said, you know what? I'm not keeping my mouth shut. I'm going to tell the students because they deserve to know. And now he couldn't get another job. He ended up moving to England to get another job.
Oh, jeez.
Like, yeah, he had to leave Canada. I don't know if it's... I can't say for sure if he left England because he was unable to get a job or if he decided to go to England on his own. I don't want to speculate.
Left Canada, you mean?
Yeah, left Canada. Yeah. I don't want to speculate too much on his reasons. I can't say for sure. But right. I do know that he was teaching in Canada. He got a reprimand put on his public record, and now he's in England as a teacher. So,
well, at least he got a job. I mean, you can say that much.
He does. And hey, I love Canada, but between Canada and England, I think I'd want to live in England.
Really?
Yeah.
Not a lot of space.
This is true. And it's pretty pricey.
Insert reference to Tim Hortons here.
Insert reference to soccer here.
It's fair me. Point, I have one. So here's one where an email we can chew on for a minute. This is James from Chandler, Arizona. He writes, I was asked this question by a religious friend of mine. Can an atheist hold something sacred? My original thought was, of course we can, but the more I think of it, the less sure I am. As a humanist and an atheist, I like to think I hold things like life and the universe as sacred. But thinking on the word sacred and the definition of, and the history, I was thinking that maybe using it this way makes it sound spiritual and wishy-washy. Timey-wimey catch-all phrase. So what are your thoughts on the original question? Is there a better word to use for things and items that an atheist holds in very high regard than sacred? And is there anything you and the guests hold sacred or the humanist equivalent of it? So I'm going to go down the line.
I understand the usage of the word sacred in terms of making something important. And frankly, when someone uses the word sacred around me, I don't always think of it as inherently spiritual or religious in any context. I just think of it as important. So the right. word that I often use for things like that is paramount. In my value system, I find regard for human rights paramount. Right. I think it's the most important thing that is the most noble thing to work towards saving. Is that something that you'd agree with?
Well, kind of. It's kind of a semantic issue. It depends on what your sort of emotional reaction to the word sacred is. I think of sacred as a word with heavy religious overtones. Something is sacred. Something being sacred means it's more important because God said so, which is an absurd statement in and of itself. And so when I think of sacred, I think of it the same as blasphemy. Blasphemy is laws, are laws of you did something that pisses off something that doesn't exist.
That might be the case. When someone uses the word sacred around you, do you assume that that person is inherently religious?
No, I don't. Like I said, it's a semantic thing. That's how I take the word, but I perfectly understand that other people, you know, I believe Carl Sagan talked a lot about sacred and awe and, you know, and specifically in the context of sciences and understanding the universe. So,
actually, if we get an official definition from the PA on this one, Carl Sagan actually, in the novel Contact, used the phrase the numinous.
The numinous, yeah.
Which I thought was good. I'm not a big fan of the word sacred because of its religious connotations, but I understand that there's sort of a psychological feeling that people are trying to refer to. Yeah, he uses numinous, but the definition does say having a strong religious or spiritual quality indicating or suggesting the presence of a divinity. And so even those definitions, but here's the thing. Religion has basically tried to control human thought. I mean, religion had a stranglehold on human philosophical thought for thousands of years.
Right.
And it's just in the last 100 years or so where we've tried to establish something more of a, reestablish, I should say, something more of a secular concept of philosophy. So we're probably going to have to take back some of these words. But if you're asking me from a semantic standpoint or from personal standpoint of how I feel, it seems to me that the word sacred has a stronger religious connotation because it's, and it also kind of suggests a dogma. You know, where if something is sacred, therefore it's inviolate. It cannot be changed. Nothing can ever be changed. And I'm, you guys know how I feel about dogma. I'm very anti-dogma.
Yeah.
And that does mean that everything that I hold important to me, I understand can be changed if things evolve, if things change, stuff like that.
So, and just as language, hopefully, you know, invariably will change over time, maybe sacred will as well.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
It could. I do want to get back to sort of the last question he asked. Is there anything you guys hold sacred or the humanist equivalent of? Like, what does reach that level that you might think, you know, is inviolate?
Right. I don't know. You know, I mean, we've got for humanism, there's the statement of humanism principles, there's the Humanist Manifesto 3. I mean, but there you go. They're on the third version. I think they're working on a fourth. you know, it's not that sacred if we're constantly revising it, what I would say when compared to religion. But
often there are times when religion has gone, well, okay, Aristotle, I guess he's all right. We can teach him.
I guess there's a confluence of things. There's immutability, there's importance, and there's, you know, I don't think there's very much in the world that's immutable, I guess is what I'm saying. And if that changes, and he seems to tie that into into sacredness in his email. And if so, if you're going to ask me if I hold anything sacred, if part of your definition of sacred is immutable, no, then
probably not. Yeah.
No, I don't.
No.
See, the concept that first comes to mind when I read this question is the concept of autonomy, the concept of nobody can do something to you without your consent. And that is a concept that most religion flies in the face of. And I think that's sort of the baseline problem with religion, is that it makes people do things they would not do of their own consent.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that's sort of the, you know, sort of the foundational moral, if you will. I don't know if that's
precept.
Really the right word either. Precept.
Yeah.
That everything else I feel like is built on.
But I you know, that's a strong one for me. That's a strong pull, that don't do something to somebody without their permission. But even that is mutable. If they're choking and passing out, you can't get their permission to perform the Heimlich.
That's
you know,
true.
So at that point, my value of saving lives transcends my value of bodily autonomy. And so what happens when I fix somebody, you know, it is theoretically possible. I mean, it's a serious edge case when I give somebody the Heimlich maneuver without their permission and they get mad at me afterwards.
The greater good. What is the greater good?
Right.
The greater good. Yeah.
Berserk.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The idea of personal autonomy is important, but it isn't what snapped into my head when I read this. It was the idea of, well, back to semantics and the idea of what is sacred, the notion of protecting something. Like, what do you hold sacred, as in what do you feel is worth defending? Because it is of such value to you that it's above all else.
Right. So, and
my new couch?
My new couch! Defend it to the death!
Sorry, couldn't resist.
Fair enough. Okay. Boy, but, well, while we're talking, you know, while we're kind of off news and just talking about things that are going on, a few weeks ago, we had a discussion about atheists in fiction.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And you wanted to revisit that. So there was an email. Why don't you go ahead and read the email from Brian?
Okay, Brian says, this past episode you were talking about atheist characters in the media. Three of my favorites came to mind. Star Trek, the original series, and Spock. STV? What's STV?
STV?
It says STV notwithstanding. I don't know what...
Voyager.
Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah.
Oh, Voyager.
Yeah.
Oh.
Where are you, man?
Sorry. Voyager is so out of my consciousness that...
Do we need to do gatekeeping here?
Okay. And then Time Tunnel, Dr. Anne McGregor, PhD, played by Lee Ann Merriweather, came out of this episode, The Walls of Jericho. I don't know this show, so I
yeah,
don't...
Yeah, I don't either.
And then, finally, and your favorite, The Big Bang Theory, Dr. Sheldon Cooper, PhD, played by Jim Parsons.
Okay, I'm not one of those guys who thinks that, you know, Big Bang Theory is the worst thing ever, and it's terrible, and it's a war crime, and they should be imprisoned in The Hague. I'm not one of those guys. While we're talking about gatekeeping.
Yeah.
But what I will say is that I just don't think it's very good.
I have no opinion on The Big Bang Theory. I've never seen an episode. I've heard people I respect say that it's actually really funny. I've heard people I respect say it's terrible and you shouldn't waste your time with it. So
this is probably the sort of lack of an opinion that leads to radio death.
Yeah.
But that being said, like, there are bits of it I've found funny and there are bits of it that I've found obnoxious, but I can kind of take or leave it.
Yeah.
So,
well, okay, let's bring it back to what this topic is about. Is this guy do you feel well served by this guy as an image of atheists in mass media?
Once again, I'm speaking mostly from ignorance because I've never seen an episode, but what I know of the character is that no, he's not, because the problem with him is the same problem you have with Bones, the same problem you have with House, the same problem you have with Spock, other atheist characters, is none of them are normal people.
Right.
You know, there's always something. They're angry, they're sort of autistic almost in some of these cases.
Isn't that exactly the case in Bones?
Yeah.
I mean,
she's autistic or Asperger's. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, or Spock is an alien. Like, there's always... Atheist comes packaged with some weird other quirk.
Well, again...
It's usually... they're, you know, acerbic and not very likable people, but they're considered fascinating.
Yeah.
It's kind of a... Now that I'm thinking about it, it's kind of a weird dehumanizing element about atheist characters, which is freaking me out.
Well, it's... it's a very strange thing because... he's fascinating, but, like... Okay, I'm going to House. Because House is, you know, is a show I actually really liked.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think you know, House as a character was a really good stand up concept of atheism. I mean, he was a drug addict and hated everybody, and and how long have we lived under the stereotype that atheists are drug addicts and hate everybody? And so now, instead of atheists being drug addicts and hating everybody, we've got atheists are autistic aliens from outer space who just can't handle hanging out with other people.
Yeah, this goes back to Bones is definitely one of the key ones for me, where she is sort of developed as a character who's so out of touch with society and so out of touch with normal humanity, and she says things that are so shocking and so weird coming from a very scientific and atheist standpoint. And then you have the character of David Boreanaz's character,
Booth,
yeah, who's supposed to be the bridge between the audience and Bones and, like, help her understand, no, most people are like this. But when I watch it, I'm like, no, she's right. Like, she may not have tact about it, but she's right.
Maybe it's kind of, maybe I'm being an optimist here, but maybe it's something that is subversive the writers are doing to cater to people who have more of Bones's mindset.
It could be. And this is kind of a weird aside, but there is a thing going around the internet about Guardians of the Galaxy, the character that Dave Bautista played, who, the way his brain works, he's an alien. He doesn't understand abstract thought. He's very concrete. He doesn't get metaphor. And there is a guy who talks about how he has an autistic brother who watched that and was amazed. He's like, I'm like that guy. He's like me. And he, for the first time in his life, sort of had someone to look up to. And because they wrote this character almost as autistic. And maybe that is something I'm missing with Bones. Maybe there are people who normally are like, kind of are more like,
but even in that case, okay, she's autistic, so she's a weird alien. I mean, I guess it's television, so having atheists and autistic people who are just normal folks who have who do things that you're not occasionally used to isn't interesting television.
Yeah.
So I guess that makes it hard to do, but I mean, that's why Bones is never scripted to be called autistic, according to Becky. And whatever. But that's the portrayal. And every time people talk about Bones in front of me, they talk about autism. Maybe they're trying to give me a hint. I don't know. But again, because of this, it's just, you know, if they were just normal people, it wouldn't be interesting television.
I don't know so much about Bones' characterization, but it would be interesting to contrast her and say, like, the only other really famous atheist character I know is Spock.
Right.
And Spock, if you watch the original series of Star Trek, what he does is he's really, really composed for, like, 90% of the episode, and if something character-centric happens to him, he falls apart.
Hmm. Really? Like, every time?
Yeah. Well, not every episode, but in quite a few of the ones where he certainly features, that usually is what happens. And he's like, I'm in control of my emotions. And then he breaks down crying.
Yeah. Oh, that's another one. You know, that's the early 1960s one, Atheist is a Robot.
Yeah, they're going to they're going to break down eventually, too.
Yeah, but ultimately, I think if we're going to look for good examples of atheism, it's going to be better to look in, you know, in the environment around you than on TV, because TV is designed to be exciting and interesting and different, not, well, I guess unless you're watching C-SPAN. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to break. When we come back, we're going to continue on this news and email train.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio Versus the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
At Puget Sound Celebrant Service, we want to be your secular wedding officiant. We are committed to serving the Puget Sound region and work to ensure your special day is all about you. Robert, a certified humanist celebrant with the Humanist Society, specializes in secular weddings and customizes ceremonies to fit your needs. To commemorate your special day, each couple married by Robert will receive a one-year membership to the American Humanist Association. Find out more at PugetSoundCelebrant.com.
Maggie used to say, "Man, never stop fighting. Don't ever give up." And as I look out across this crowd right now, I'll tell you, I can see her face in every one of you. I can hear her voice every time you speak.
His name was Matthew Hoffman, the candidate. And though he didn't understand it now, years of inaction, deceit, and fear had formed a cancer. And now it would destroy him. AnnexRadio.com.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show on the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Imagine tropical waters, warm sandy beaches, friendly people, incredible weather. The English-speaking Caribbean island nation of St. Lucia awaits. Don Summers and his team at Professional Realty Group are ready to assist you. Whether you're looking for an investment, a place to retire, or a killer vacation property, St. Lucia has homes in all price ranges starting at $110,000. Call Don at 780-237-4718 and check out dndrealty.ca.
Author Jim Lawrence's In the Flip-Flops of Jesus is a blasphemous behind-the-scenes look at the Christian movie business of 1950s Hollywood. When young Randy Dillard hires on at a religious film company, he learns the screenwriter is a blacklisted atheist, the Key Grip produces stag films, the denominational reps are gambling addicts, and the producer of the Living Savior series is Jewish. Author Jim Lawrence's In the Flip-Flops of Jesus is available in hardcover, paperback, and ebook.
Sam Olvey here.
And I'm Becky Friedman. After almost 4 years, our radio show Ask an Atheist returns to Seattle on KKNW 1150 AM on October 5th.
Join me and my rotating cast of atheists and freethinkers from around the world as we answer some of our favorite questions that we are totally not at all sick of.
Like whether atheists are even capable of feeling love or joy.
No.
Wait, what?
Catch Ask an Atheist with Sam Olvey Sunday afternoon at 3 on KKNW 1150 AM in Seattle. Find them online at askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. And I would like to thank Rick from Elma, Washington for meeting Peggy's challenge. One guy again. Oh, no.
Thank you, Rick.
Yay,
thank
you, Rick. You win.
Yes. Peggy's challenge is the challenge to the listeners of Ask an Atheist to help us keep the lights on. You go to askanatheist.tv, click on the yellow button, and it'll take you right to our PayPal page. Yeah, sometimes
shiny
it's shiny.
Yellow?
Yeah, shiny.
A matte yellow button.
Matte yellow button. Boring gray taupe button.
Taupe!
It's a taupe button.
Not again.
I think your screen's broken then. Better check your color
settings. Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah. So I imagine people might be holding back, saving for... at least I hope you're saving for the Streamathon. That would be nice. But there are two stories we absolutely have to cover today. One of them... oh, you're going to love this. An online petition asking for a Satan statue to be reinstalled has garnered more than 1,000 signatures. The non-commissioned, unsanctioned art piece caused a stir when it appeared earlier this week along Vancouver's Grandview Highway and the commuter train route. The city tweeted that it was currently holding the anatomically complete statue until its owners could collect it.
This is a giant statue of Satan
standing at attention,
standing
if you will.
Standing at attention.
Inspecting the troops. Inspecting the troops.
And it's not subtle. We'll put it that way. It's not a subtle statue.
This is like a thing. This is totally. I didn't do this.
Are you sure?
I don't. This is the Vancouver North, not the Vancouver South, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Canada.
So
Vancouver.
I don't have that wouldn't stop. I don't have a passport. That was going to be my defense, but you guys know me better than that.
You realize they're never letting you back in now, right?
But seriously, I mean, every time somebody wants to put up 10 commandments or something like that,
you're
I
the one who's calling.
Hey, call the Satanists. They'll totally work with you.
My favorite part about the story is the fact that this statue appeared out of nowhere. Like, nobody knows who built it. Nobody knows who installed it. It's just one day there was this giant red Satan a standing at attention statue.
Yeah.
Just by the highway. Nobody knows where it came from.
Nobody knows where it is or where that came from. Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Someone needs to contact the Oklahoma State Senate with this.
Buy the statue.
You can put it right. Tell you what, hey, we will drop everything about the Ten Commandments monument you have if you put this right next to it.
Or have him holding the Ten Commandments with one tablet and each arm.
This is like something straight out of Last Generation, that Jack Trick Jack that I like so much. Yeah, it's like all hail the new overlord, and he's very happy to see you. Oh, yeah. Okay, for the record, I am not a Satanist. Actually, no, I think they're silly. But that's the entire point. I think this battle for monuments on public property is perhaps one of the most silliest things that we have to deal with.
Yeah.
But we have to deal with it, because the whole point of this is to say, you know, religion, we're a religious nation, you guys don't matter. So we kind of have to play ball. But I do recognize that it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous.
But
it's a ball game, but it's like drunken kickball.
Yeah. But how many times can we scream from the top of our lungs, look, we don't actually want to put a statue up on government property, but if you're going to,
yeah,
we're going to be there too.
Yeah, we're going
to
play.
We're going to stand at attention right next to you.
I told you this would work. Oh, yeah. I haven't seen a picture of it yet, and I'm totally waiting.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's, I don't know what to say. It's, they should have sent a poet. I don't.
Thrown candy from the side of the highway.
Oh, imagine a candy deployment system.
Wait, it could be like a Pez dispenser.
Okay, gotta move on. We're pretty close to the line here.
All right.
And we gotta get to this next one. It's amazing. Oh, paleontologists from the University of Chicago have reconstructed the skeleton of the largest predator to ever walk the earth. Spinosaurus was a semi-aquatic fish eater that researchers describe as a chimera, half duck, half crocodile.
We haven't heard that
the
before.
The dinosaur was 50 feet long, 10 feet longer than the Tyrannosaurus Rex. No reactions have been heard from Kirk Cameron or Ray Comfort as of yet, as of the airing of this episode. I never would have hoped. Like, I never would have. Like,
the whole fun part of the crocoduck's painting is that it's... You are arguing against something that you clearly do not understand. This is not something that anyone would ever find. Oh, wait.
Oh, okay. I was wrong. Sorry.
Not only did we find it, but it's 50 feet long.
My imagination has been running away with me since the last story, and now I'm thinking of like a photoshopped Kirk Comfort, where it's like half Kirk Cameron.
Oh, so we get pictures of them, and we get like if they had a baby ometer.
That's gonna be on the Tumblr.
Oh, okay. That's gonna be on the Tumblr. The Tumblr, which you run. How is the Tumblrverse anyway?
The Tumblrverse is very meme-like and wonderful, and I don't know. It has a lot of animated
crocoduck.
Sort of crocoducks.
Crocoduck.
You want an animated crocoduck?
Animated crocoduck. I want animated crocoduck.
Weren't you looking for a new Ask an Atheist logo? Because you found it.
No, I'm pretty sure Crocoduck has been copyrighted by...
And not Kirk Comfort.
By Kirk Comfort. James T. Kirk Comfort.
Whoa.
Oh.
That's frightening me a little
creation
bit.
Creation Trek. This is why science is awesome. Science brings the numinous. People find awe in what science discovers, especially when we start talking about cosmological stuff. We're like, oh, wow, the universe is big and complex, and we barely understand it, and it's great. And let's go out and do things with it, because it'll be great. I love this.
Yeah, yeah.
I think... I don't want to ascribe ID, like, I don't want to anthropomorphize, but I love it when science kind of picks up a sense of humor.
Now, and that's great, but... Okay, let's get to the serious side of this. And I'm going to have to ask you guys, because Dan's not here as our resident science expert.
Yeah,
but what is it... Okay, we are all clear that what makes science work is its ability to make predictions. Science will say, we expect to find this, look for it, and shock and surprise, find it.
Yeah.
That's a sign of good science. Does this mean that Kirk Cameron is suddenly a good scientist? Because he predicted the existence of this thing.
No.
And we found it.
Guessing is not science. Guessing, what happens if he had, what about that guy who said that you don't get a biogenesis inside of a jar of peanut butter? Like, these guys are trying to make up absurdist arguments, and they so don't understand the subject matter that they're making these absurdist arguments about that they end up stepping on themselves and doing something silly, like saying an animal can't exist that apparently did exist, and is meaningful. I mean, this is what we're, they don't understand what they're trying to refute, which is where the comedy comes in.
It's where the comedy. I always wonder with Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort especially, like, it's a classic question. Are they a Poe? Do they really believe?
No.
Or
you got to remember, I met him.
I remember. That was a great episode. But the question is, my question is, like, if Kirk Cameron is so insistent on debunking evolution, like, this is something that's incredibly important to him, yet he clearly shows not even a basic understanding of what evolution claims to mean. I mean, is he doing that on purpose? Is he setting up straw men on purpose? Does he actually understand evolution better than he purports to?
Right.
I don't think it ultimately matters. I think he's talking to people to try and he's talking to people that probably already have his mindset in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So it's not really necessary for him to have a fuller understanding. He can spout what any sort of quackery he wants. And
well, I'm going to challenge you on that he's talking to only people who have his mindset, because he takes this stuff on to debates with atheists
the
CNN.
We are the people he's looking to talk to. He has his, has his ministry when the people who support him. But what he's trying to do is troll us.
Mm-hmm.
He's Christian Anonymous. You know what I mean? He's so bad at Anonymous, we know his name. but the thing is, once upon a time, I thought as you did. But the thing is, I met the guy, and there was there ended up not being much of a there. And I don't think he does. I don't think there's a Poe there. Unfortunately, got a few more seconds. No, I don't think there's a Poe there. I think they really don't understand what it is they're trying to refute. I think they do understand their religion. He understands it very well, at least his take on it, but he doesn't understand the logical fallacies in it and the stuff that we see that he doesn't that turns us off.
Yeah.
And every time he sees something that we go, hey, that's kind of weird. Like, you're disowning these people because you're saying they're not Christians because they did something bad. That makes have you heard of No True Scotsman? He's like, no, that's what it says in the Bible. Doesn't, but that's what he says in the Bible. It's kind of a weird thing. Crocoduck is real, people. Crocoduck is real.
Boom.
That's
science.
All you need to know. This is Ask an Atheist. Our phone number is 206-420-0997. Our website is askanatheist.tv. You can email us at questions at askanatheist.tv. My name is Sam Mulvey. With me today was Rosalind Townsend and Dave Brulette. Rebecca Friedman was my production assistant. And yes, this is Ramp the Hustle because it's all I've got.
Yay!
Oh, boy. I had a lot of fun this week. Catch you guys next week. And, next week we're pre-recorded, of course, because of the Streamathon. We'll see you guys at the Streamathon. If you want the price to be right, call Billy Q, because I got the boogers tonight.